Hey everybody, welcome back to Storytime with Shade. We are going to jump right back into the conclusion of the end of it all. Just right before I do, thank you once again so much for listening. If you are listening, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Help me get my podcast heard by more people. And again, thank you so much for being here. And without further ado, here we go. Chapter 43. The next few weeks went by without much happening. Oh yeah, I fell more and more in love with Francesca, and as much as I am a romantic, I find that I can't really describe it. There's nothing quite like falling in love, and if you've been there before, then you know the feeling. If you haven't, I pray eventually you do, because not getting to feel that, I don't know, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Really though, most of our time was spent rationing, talking, and sleeping. After the first week or two of this, we realized that this wasn't going to hold out forever, and so we started planning. And then that was how we spent most of our time. It was hard figuring out where to go at first. After all, everywhere seemed pretty much as helpless as where we already were. We'd seen enough firsthand to have pretty low expectations. Also, as more time passed and no rescue came, the reality settled in more and more. That this was it. This was the world now. That there was no rescue teams. The government is most likely gone or in a shelter somewhere. We haven't seen any signs of life other than ourselves and the undead shuffle consistently coming from outside. Eventually, though, we did discover that we had a map of the area and decided that there was something nearby we should check out. A military base. We figured it would have the protection we needed. Even if it was overrun, the chances were fairly high that it would somewhat be fortified. Like a fucking bunker that we could hide out in. We could have stayed in Bomb's Variety longer, I guess, but we as a team decided that we had been pretty lucky thus far and to not push our luck. We were constantly at the risk of making too much noise and getting a mop of zombies pile on the windows and simply overwhelming it to the point of it breaking. And so, we made a choice. To make a trip to a more fortified and safer place. Really, though, we were planning a trip to our deaths. Chapter 44. The one thing I won't forget was the first night that me and Francesca made love. And I have skipped over the whole blooming relationship crap because you probably don't care and I probably don't have much time left. But as much as those weeks leading up to us leaving Bob's Variety were full of the same amount of terror that everyday life consisted of those days, it was also full of something quite magical. A growing romance and a strong friendship. I was ready to die for them, I think, and them for me. And anyways, you know what? It's too much. Fuck you. I don't have to justify why I suddenly find it too painful to write that down. And you're just gonna have to accept that I love Francesca and she loved me and Mercedes is one of the best friends I've ever had. And why doesn't matter? Maybe the fact that we were stuck together in a store for almost a month with ravenous zombies not 20 feet away is enough to develop those types of bonds. I mean, that's got to be understandable, right? Anyways, sorry for being so rude. You are still here, after all. Anyways, so the night me and Francesca made love was the night before we left on our quest of finding somewhere new. And it was the first and the last time. We held each other tight all night and listened to the sounds of the undead outside. She cried in my arms afterwards, telling me that it was a mistake, that she loved me, but that she knew I was going to die, that we were all going to die, and that this was just going to make it harder. I didn't answer, because I didn't know what to say. She was right, after all. It just made our love stronger, and my pain deeper. Chapter 45. We got up early. Not that Francesca and I had been sleeping. Just savoring our already doomed romance, maybe. And started packing what we thought we needed. It was mostly food, coupled with the handgun I had, and its single clip of ammo. I think I fired off a few shots getting here with Neville, but I couldn't seem to remember. Either way, there was no more than 7 or 8 shots in there. I figured that if I saw Neville's bag out there, which had more ammunition and a little bit of food in it, that I would snag it off the ground, but only if it's still there, and only if there's a real chance at getting it and getting out of the middle of the street alive. I was peering through the barricaded windows, trying to find it between the waves of zombies shuffling to and fro, and having a pretty hard time spotting it when Francesca pinched my butt from behind, making me jump. "What the f—" I started to say, but couldn't finish, because the smile on her face told me all I needed to know. One, she was satisfied with the night before, as sad as she had been after. Two, that she had cheered up a little bit since then, which I didn't really understand, but didn't really question. And besides, seeing her happy instantly lifted my spirits. And number three, that she loved me. "Hey, Stead." "Hi." "Oh, Jesus, get a room," Mercedes said, packing up food. "What?" Francesca asked, lifting her eyebrows and shrugging her shoulders all playfully innocent. God, she was adorable. "Just because you guys finally had sex and are all googly-eyed over each other now, even though you were already kind of like that, doesn't mean I have to sit here and watch you two flirt and act like you're being indiscreet when we're the only people in a cleared-out store." I started to say that I hadn't really done anything when Francesca grabbed my crotch with her hand and squeezed gently, saying to Mercedes, "Oh, is this better?" They both laughed, and so did I, but oh, the lust that such a simple thing can bring forth. Francesca pecked me on the cheek and winked at me as she moved to help Mercedes cram every bit of food we could into our bags. I resumed trying to spot Neville's bag, and finally did a minute or so later. It had been kicked around a lot and moved pretty far down the street, luckily in the direction we were planning on going, which is why I had such a hard time spotting it. I notified the girls about this, and they were happy. More ammunition was better in a zombie apocalypse. Chapter 46. I haven't written in a few days. As my papa used to say, stop farting around, right? He was a good guy. Glad he didn't live to see this shit storm that God started. Or the devil or the Easter bunny, whoever the fuck's to blame. I'm in an okay mood, that's saying something. I woke up today realizing that my story was almost done. Knowing this, that my life is almost done. So even though I'm writing this, I'm trying to think of the good times while I do. You know, trying not to think of my imminent death and or suicide. Not like it's a choice at this point to think I'm going to kill myself. I'm out of food, and I'm already feeling pretty out of it. I don't want to starve to death, so yeah, suicide. The question is gun or zombie. I know most of you are thinking, go for the gun, but no, hold your horses, keep your hat on, take a gander at this mind explosion. Why not be a zombie? I mean, at least I'd have company. Maybe they tell funny zombie jokes, you know? Like, your mom is so dead that, well, you know. Because, I mean, it's more likely that God and heaven don't exist, isn't it? So why be just dead when you could still be a zombie? I don't know. I think I'm starting to crack, so I guess I should finish what I started. Chapter 47. I remember that, right before we left, as I looked out at the zombie horde aimlessly walking around the streets, that this song just popped into my head, and it sent shivers down my spine and made my skin break out in goose flesh. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dares disturb the sound of silence. I don't know why it popped into my head, or why I'm remembering it now. The brain can be a funny thing. Chapter 48. We ran. There really wasn't much to tell on that front. As soon as we unbarricaded the door, we threw it open and we ran. It was probably a stupid idea, but we had a destination, and thousands of zombies in the way, so, I mean, what were we gonna do, walk? I had the handgun in my right hand and a backpack of food over my shoulder, leaving my left hand open to grab the bag of ammo and hurl it over my other one. I would be weighed down, sure, but I was fairly confident I could outmaneuver some slow-moving zombies. The girls ran out ahead, and I made a beeline for the ammunition bag as soon as they opened the door, successfully evaded a few zombies before I snatched it from the ground and flung it over my shoulders. I looked ahead to see that they already were pretty far, and there was pockets of zombies surrounding us, and Francesca was looking back at me. "Stupid fucking girl, keep running," I remember thinking. I started running towards her, only to see a gnarled old man with an eyeball hanging out open his mouth and start to descend on her shoulder. I lifted the handgun and fired, knowing full well that I could have missed, but didn't, and the bullet slammed into his head and his body crumpled backwards like a slinky. I screamed at her to move, cracking my voice because I was so panicked. It worked, though, and she started hauling ass. Too much ass was hauled. In no time at all, it looked like they were going to leave me behind simply because I was too slow. After my order to move, I didn't think she was going to look back again. I think I was right, and that she didn't. And I don't blame her for that. After I don't know how long, 45 minutes, an hour of running, I realized we were separated by far too much distance, and that I was probably never going to see her again. And it broke my heart. But I had to keep running. Actually, you know what? I kind of wish I hadn't. More than anything in the world, I wish I had never seen her again. Chapter 49. Believe it or not, but when you're surrounded on all sides by people that are slowly falling apart and want to eat you alive, it is indeed pretty fucking easy to lose track of people and get split up. And we all swore before we left that it wouldn't happen, and then boom. Guess what, Gabe? What? No, guess. I don't know. Yeah, you do. Oh, is it that it's really fucking easy for that to happen? Yeah, good job, Gabe. Thanks, buddy. No, but seriously, they left me behind. I'm sure they didn't mean to. I know they didn't mean to. All I could do was continue running, hoping I was getting closer to that all-elusive, super-awesome military base with fucking bunkers. God damn, do I hate bunkers. And eventually, I got there. I almost got eaten a few times, shot a couple zombies, and was out of ammo. Well, no, I mean I had some in my backpack, but no time to stop, fish a magazine out of the bag, and reload, so I was out pretty quick and then had to run a good couple of hours with an aching, stinging stitch in my side. When I did get there, it was pretty easy to spot. There was a fence with lots of keep out signs, a gate that doesn't do shit to stop a horde of flesh-eating zombies, and those big military-based tents that are also good for fuck-all when it comes to zombies. Most interestingly, though, was that Francesca was there. On top of a big, military-looking SUV, and Mercedes was nowhere in sight. She was kicking off zombies left and right, and I realized that she was surrounded, and that I was now surrounded. We were two people, separated by no more than 30, 40 feet and hundreds of zombies, and more were creeping up on me. I didn't know what to do. And I looked up at her and saw her eyes, and my heart dropped to the pavement. And she yelled, "Right over there, bunkers!" And I yelled, "What do I do?" And she yelled, "Live!" And my heart shattered. And she shouted, "I love you," and I shouted it back. She jumped into them, and I ran. I got to the bunker door, and I started turning the wheel, and I can hear her screaming, and the door won't open. And I can hear the zombies getting closer, and the door opens, and I run through, and I look back, and I see nothing but the dead. My love is gone. And I closed the door. Chapter 50. And now here I am. My story's done. I've got nothing left now. No hope, no love, no chance of survival, or food. I was holding on to the unrealistic hope that I'd have been rescued by now. I knew it was stupid and wasn't going to happen, but I've never been one to give up exactly, but I give up. Anyways, this is it, whoever's reading this. Hopefully when you do, the world won't be so fucked up anymore, but that's asking for a lot, isn't it? The world always has been and always will be fucked up, I guess now it just has zombies in it. I hope that these scribbles on these pages can be enough to carry on the memory of the great people I once knew. They won't be forgotten. And I can only assume the worst about Mercedes, but maybe she's out there. God bless them all, if you're even there, you asshole. Please let there be a heaven, God. Just so she can be there. Please. That's all I ask. Chapter 51. I hear knocking. It started further away, but it's getting closer. I really don't trust it. I had the gun in my mouth. What the fuck is going on? Knocks at my door now. Well, I hear them. I guess I should go answer the door. The end. And so that is the end of the end of it all. Thank you so much, everybody who has listened. This has been, it is one of the favorites, my favorite stories that I've ever written, for sure. And probably my most edited as well. I really hope you enjoyed it. I did start it with the basic concept of, just a dude stuck in a bunker. And, I knew he was fucked from the get-go and that there was going to be zombies piled outside his bunker, and I just didn't know how he got there, and, wanted to just explore that, and so ended up writing the story, and it got ahead of me, and it ended up being a lot longer than I thought it was going to be, and thought it was a nice candidate for this podcast, so I really do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you again so, so much, everybody who has listened and supported at all. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Again, please like, comment, and subscribe if you can. Not only do I really appreciate it and does it give me the warm, tingly tummy feelings, but it also helps my podcast to be seen and heard by more people. So thank you again, everybody, for sticking around. I know that I've been pretty inconsistent with these. They always come out on Tuesday, but it's usually every or every other Tuesday. I am going to try and be more consistent and have these coming out every single week, regardless of how long it is or what the story is. I will try to be consistently coming out with new stuff for you guys. So thank you again so much for listening. Please stay tuned. If you haven't already, subscribe so you'll be notified if I come out with anything new. And again, thank you so much for being here. Until next time, have a good one.